91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Stand by, it's the Topical Currents Restaurant Roundabout with chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman, Joseph Cooper on vacation. What's new in the South Florida restaurant scene? What of openings, closings, and new chefs? We have answers in minutes. Three knowledgeable restaurant reviewers are on hand to give dining advice for Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. Perhaps Key West. Maybe you have a favorite eatery you'd like to tout. It's easy enough to phone in with a recommendation at 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. Stay tuned. The Roundabout up next after the news. And welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper is on vacation. Well, it's that time again. Let's all get ready for today's restaurant roundabout with our resident chef, author, and syndicated columnist, Linda Gassenheimer. We have three renowned South Florida restaurant reviewers on hand, ready to expound on their favorite dining options, or not so favorite. And of course, your input is welcome. You may want to note the call-in number. It's 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576, or you can email radio at WLRN.org. So we begin with Linda's Restaurant Roundabout. Hey, Linda.
Yes, it's our very popular program. And, you know, Bonnie, there's always so much restaurant news here in South Florida. Our reviewers today, in studio with us is Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Linda.
Great to have you here. Also in studio with us is Lainey Doss. She's the food editor for Miami New Times. Welcome, Lainey.
Hi, Linda.
Great to have you. And Matt Meltzer. He's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group, and he's joining us by phone. Hello, Matt. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
And, of course, as Bonnie said, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any tips or a restaurant treasure to share with us? Maybe it's a mom-and-pop place with really, really great food. Or maybe you have some pet peeves you'd like to tell us about. Mm-hmm. Give us a call. It's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And you can email radio at WLRN.org. And the phones may get busy, so we ask you to be patient.
Right, exactly. And, of course, our favorite wine guy is with us, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. Now, Fred writes the wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns that you can read in the Miami Herald, and you can also read Fred Tasker's wine column on Saturdays in the Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today? Have we got Fred?
I'll have to check. I thought we had him.
Okay, we're checking on Fred. Maybe he went to get a bottle of wine. Who knows?
Champagne, you mean?
Yes. Champers,
always
for sure.
Always the bubbly.
Always. Yes. And by the way, all the restaurants that we're mentioning today are going to be listed on my blog, on my website, dinnerinminutes.com. And if you miss some of the program, it's going to be archived at WLRN.org. So as I mentioned, there's a lot of openings. Excuse me. Restaurants updating themselves. I'm amazed. Coconut Grove is just exploding with restaurants. Glass and Vine, created by Eating House chef Giorgio, and I'm never quite sure how to pronounce his last name. Rapicavoli?
Rapicavoli.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Lainey. Perfect spot overlooking the Peacock Park.
It's beautiful. It's probably what Coconut Grove needs. When you think of Coconut Grove, you think of overgrown, beautiful, jungle-like settings. And we really didn't have a restaurant that incorporated the indoors and the outdoors so wonderfully, like Glass and Vine. And the food matches the decor. Giorgio, at Eating House, it was a more casual restaurant. It was a little more young, interesting food. You know, he would do things like dirt in a cup and buffalo cauliflower. And rumor has it, well, I've been told by a source that
I always love your rumors. Go ahead.
This is his really serious shot at winning a James Beard Award for next year.
What kind of food is it?
It's just good food.
It's just continental food.
You know, his invention. He's very inventive. So, you know, he's got like his take on ceviche, which is like frozen. And, you know.
Oh. Right. So, it's very interesting.
And it's all very local.
I think we have Fred with us. Fred, are you with us now?
I am with you now.
Okay, cool. What are we drinking today?
I'm going to talk about how to order wine in a restaurant without having to cash in your 401k.
That sounds good to me. Well, more in Coconut Grove, the old calamari spot. It's been taken over by a chef, Gaetano Ascioni, and he's from Chicago, and it's called Spasso. And a few weeks ago, we had the people from Local, L-O-K-A-L, on, and they're going to be opening up a restaurant called Spillover.
It just opened, actually.
Has it opened?
Yeah.
Yes.
In Coconut Grove?
Yep.
Yeah.
At the old Comedy Central place?
Yeah, and what's interesting is it really incorporates a lot of artwork in the restaurant. So there's a giant Don Francisco in the ladies' room.
I don't want to go any further with that. I think that explains
public school building. Public school building. What's also very interesting about it, though, is that they have a mead menu. So they have all different kinds of honey-based liquors, and they're really
back to the Middle Ages.
Well, you know, it's a little sweet, but some of them actually are very they're really interesting to drink, and you know, it's all crafted artisanal. Alcohol. So, you know, getting away from what's actually in the bathroom.
And again, but no, to be serious, the Spillover is very interesting because there are very few places, even though we're on the water, that have wonderful places to get really, really local fish and seafood without paying a ridiculous amount of money.
Well, that's good to know, without paying a ridiculous amount of money. Well, there's another hot spot. Going on, there's so many. Doral is exploding. I'm going to ask about that. I mean, we had Bula Gastro Bar in Coral Gables now opened their second location in Doral, and they have a coal burning Jasper oven. And they have
what is that?
It's an oven that has instead of electric or gas or whatever, there's actual coals inside the oven.
Yeah, it comes from Spain. There are quite a few of them now in Miami. It seems to be a trend, just in this particular area. But they
Prima had it for a while, the place out in the beach, and that was the meats just have a different flavor when it's cooked like that. And I didn't believe it till I went in there. But when you actually try the meat, it's like this combination of oven roasted and barbecued that I can't really describe. But you absolutely have to go try it if you get a chance.
And it's a smoky flavor. Yeah, Coya.
Coya also.
Coya. And Brickell has two of them. That's very... Well, the chef there at El Bula comes from the legendary restaurant in Spain, El Bulli. So they're really spending money on their chefs there.
Yeah, they've recreated a Cuban sandwich they do in that oven. And it's pretty interesting.
Well, okay, it's recreated. Also, Asian-inspired restaurants are opening. Pronouncing this name is really, it's really funny. You know, they're all laughing at me because they know where I'm going. Nayara,
or something. Right, it depends on Nayara, who you speak to.
But that's Chef B from Kong. You know, if you remember him, he had that whole concept with 50 eggs back in the day. His new spot's even better. I don't know. If you all have tried any of the super spicy food there, I went there one night and I said, I want you to make this like, you know, you make it back home, the authentic style. He looks at me, he goes, you sure?
And I said, all right.
And it comes out, it was one of the more painful eating experiences I've ever had, but it was absolutely phenomenal. If you like hot food, go there and ask them for the special authentic spicy style, and it will knock the tongue out of your mouth.
Yeah, he actually will cook off the menu for you if you ask him. He's actually quite a talented chef. Yeah. I like this guy. He's sweet too.
Bay Road on the beach.
And here's a little pro tip really quickly. Yes. If you are dining on a budget, his happy hour is daily, and drinks and food are $7 each, so it's really easy to keep track of your bill. And there are over a dozen items.
It's on Bay Road on the beach?
Yes.
Yeah, you know that street where...
Right, parallel to Purdy.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And okay, that whole area has been a mess of construction, but they are finished on that block. And
raising the street.
And they have made a parking garage that is literally next door to it, so it is so easy now to get in and out, and it's perfect. And you just go, you park your car, you go right downstairs, you have something to eat and drink, and you leave. And it's been 2 years of a nightmare. So now it's reaping the benefits.
Okay.
And also, so that's why, Lainey, that it's packed with young people when you go in there.
Young people like us, Linda.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for sure for me.
Well, anyway, it's touched a nerve.
You go on his. It is not a quiet spot.
It's not a quiet spot at all.
No.
But that, also, we have Q, a KYU, pronounced Q, in Wynwood. They have a wood fired Asian grill. And it's the former alums from Zuma, and I think they're doing a really great job.
Yeah. Do
I recognize a trend here toward restaurants that you can't pronounce?
Yes. Really sure when you look at their spelling, how you're supposed to say them, but it doesn't matter because you go in and they're delicious.
On a sad note, very sorry to learn that Michelle Bernstein has closed her restaurant Cena. By Mishy. Yeah, it used to be Mishy's.
Formerly Mishy's.
I hope we're looking forward to her finding another spot.
Yeah. This is a woman who won't stay and rest on her laurels for a while. She's iconic in Miami, and Mishy's, she still called it Mishy's, even though it was Santa by Mishy's. She still referred to it as Mishy's. And it was abrupt, and it was sad, and it was sort of a jolt. And I know that one other restaurateur in the neighborhood in that Mimo area that I live in said that the worst thing about it is that she anchored the neighborhood for other restaurateurs.
Right.
That she was the reason why tourists would come, and then they would discover other restaurants. So
yeah, that is true.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break, and we'll get back to some of the phone calls. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about South Florida restaurants with Matt Meltzer, Jen Koretnik, Lainey Doss. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. We're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about South Florida restaurants. Giving us the latest restaurant news in studio with us is Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Lainey Doss is the food editor for Miami New Times. And by phone is Matt Meltzer. He's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. And you, our listeners, we're going to be taking your calls now. We'd love to hear from you, your little treasures, your little mom and pops, or maybe you have a pet peeve you'd like to tell us about. And the number is 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. And Bonnie, you said we had an email waiting?
We do.
And what's the email?
Okay, my wife, this is Ryan. My wife and I are leaving for a cruise on Sunday out of Miami. We're from Broward County, unfamiliar with Miami. Do you have a recommendation for a Sunday breakfast? Perhaps not a brunch in Miami before a cruise. My wife and I were thinking of Versailles.
Call for breakfast. I mean, it's Cuban. If you like that sort of Cuban food for breakfast, you know, pastelitos and Cuban coffee, and sure, you know, absolutely. But it's not, you know, a breakfast place per se.
I was thinking, because it's right by the port, is Books and Books Cafe. I mean, it's right there, and they're open for breakfast every day.
Oh, yes, right at the Arch Center.
Right, the Arch Center. Right. It's right across the street.
Lainey, Jen, do you have some suggestions?
I mean, if you're going to be downtown by the port, one of our writers' sort of favorite breakfasts down there now, and it's more brunch, is Zest, Cindy Hudson's new restaurant. It's affordable, and it's
where is it?
Wonderful. It's right downtown. It's right downtown Miami.
It used to be the First Interstate building, but the tall sort of step-looking building there, right as US 1 turns to go from south to to West. Oh, okay. Right there on that corner.
It's a stroll from the port. Wherever they're staying, I'm assuming they're staying downtown at one of the, you know, the port feeder hotels, and it's a stroll.
I think they're just driving in.
Yeah. And she does a great job. And it's on that plaza there. You can valet park, or you, as you said, Lainey, walk over from wherever you're leaving your car.
And everything, even the heavier dishes, like a Benedict, because Cindy Hudson is known for her cuisine of the sun, has like a lot of citrus, and it's brighter and lighter, so it's not going to fill you up, and so you'll be able to hit the buffet on the cruise ship afterward.
Okay, well, let's go to the telephone.
Okay.
Line one. Jeff in Miami. Hello, Jeff. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I am on the opening team of Caviar Russe, which is a restaurant in the Four Seasons Hotel in Brickell. We are in our sixth week, and I just kind of wanted to tell the public about our prefix lunch.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jeff, thank you for your call. We prefer not to have commercials on the air for this. We want to hear from our listeners where they've been. But thank you, and good luck with your restaurant.
Thank you.
Okay, and we have Edward in Hollywood. And by the way, yes, please, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. What are your suggestions? Edward in Hollywood, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead.
I have a place that my wife and I found several months, probably about a year ago, and it's a little, I wouldn't even call it a diamond in the rough. I'd call it a diamond. It's called the Sosta Cafe.
Could you spell that? I didn't quite get that.
Yes, it's S, like Sam, S-O-S-T-A, Cafe.
Okay, and where is it?
It's on Pines Boulevard, which is Hollywood Boulevard, just west of University Drive.
Okay, and what kind of food is it?
It is Italian.
Oh, you did mention Italian. Okay, great. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
And we'll go to Marcos in Miami. On line three. Hello, Marcus. You're on the air.
Hello, I'm Marcus.
Hello. Just for breakfast, close to downtown, there's an old dive called the SNS. The original owner moved out of there, but I think the cook took over the place. And it was still chicken not so long ago.
Right.
Okay, so the S&S Diner, we have a bad connection. It's on Northeast 2nd Avenue and about 17th Street.
Right.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your call. Let's go to, I wanted to ask Matt, because he lives on Brickell, what's happening there? I mean, it's just so many restaurants and all. Tell us what's going on there.
What's going on in Brickell? Well, we got our own Coyo Taco, which is exciting. You know, anytime you can get a new taco shop, I think that's a feather in your neighborhood's cap. Well, I mean, Brickell City Center is going to open up, and I think, you know, that's going to change kind of everything that we do there. But as far as regular restaurants that have opened up, I think that's probably the one that people are talking about the most. There's a place called 1111 Peruvian Bistro there that is phenomenal food in just an unfortunate location. It's kind of hidden under the Metro Mover tracks there, and they're making great stuff, but it's not cheap, and it's in an area where they're not going to get people walking by there. If you get a chance to go try it out, I mean, it's good. I think it's up there with Lamar in terms of Peruvian food in Brickell, but you got to know that it's there.
Okay, and Brickell City Center. Some people may not know where it is or what it is.
It's a giant shopping mall condo complex because Miami just didn't have enough shopping malls and condo complexes. But let's just dump one right in the middle of the most densely populated part of the city. Great idea. So that's going to be opening up sometime later this year. The mall part's going to open up, and there's a hotel in there called East, and then a couple of condo towers. It's been a traffic nightmare for everybody living in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The jury's out on whether it's going to really do a whole lot. I think that they have this underground parking garage there that I'm very interested to see what happens. You know, at a underground parking garage built on the water table in a city that floods all the time. But hey, I'm not an engineer, so just careful if you go there and park.
I understand the restaurants in the East are already open. The Shlula
they are.
And
I haven't
Sugar.
Had a chance to go in yet. They've invited me in. I've unfortunately been out of town. I haven't had a chance to go in.
Uh-huh.
I know they have a rooftop bar there that people are talking about a lot. That's supposed to be really good, but admittedly, I haven't been out of Laney. If you've been there,
I haven't, actually.
It just opened at the end
of
May.
Yeah, they really just opened. So Quinto, La Huela, and...
Shrina or something.
They're just getting started, so...
We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, they're doing the same kind of South American grilling thing like that Los Fuegos is doing, and we've got a lot of wood-fired grills happening lately, so...
And what's with all the restaurants there, I guess... The in thing is to make it look like it's derelict.
Yeah.
With pipes hanging out.
I think the in thing is to make it look like we're going back to a simpler time.
Rustic. It's called rustic.
Oh, rustic, sorry. Didn't mean to say derelict.
Derelict has a different connotation.
Derelict is different. Yeah, we have some, too, restaurants like that, too, but that's not on purpose.
Yeah.
When you hire an architect and a design firm and spend millions of dollars,
it's not going
called
for rustic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at the meetings when they decide those things, they use different words. But yeah, I think they're definitely trying to get away from that very cold postmodern kind of thing and make everything look very warm and homey, which is funny for Miami because it's already warm. So adding fire
but
to
not
this
necessarily
very hot place.
Homey.
Yeah.
Right. Personally, any restaurant that doesn't have like the giant white drapes billowing anymore is a place that I want to go to. I don't care what it looks like.
No, we're done with those.
Right, as long as it's not that South Beach chic with like the sort of black lighting.
Yeah. I just love all the fires blooming up now in the middle of the room and you're thinking like, it's hot here. Do we really need some fire?
Okay, so our phone number is 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. We'd love to hear your
comments. And you can email radio@wlrn.org.
Let's go to line four. Donald in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, Donald. You're on the air.
Hello. Good afternoon. I actually had the good fortune to visit Bunratty Castle in Ireland a few years ago, and I had some delicious mead for the first time. And I heard you guys talking about a restaurant that serves mead, but I didn't catch the name of it. Can you give that to me?
Oh, that was the one in Coconut Grove we were talking about.
It's called Spillover.
Yeah. Right. Spillover by Locale.
S-P-I-L-L.
All of these are going to be like your glass is spilling over, you know, spillover.
They wanted to expand the restaurant that was on Commodore Plaza, and they couldn't get a lease. So they've called it the spill, because they were so busy. I mean, all restaurants should be so happy to have to spill over. And so they took this other spot in Coconut Grove. But all of the restaurants that we've mentioned are going to be listed on my website, dinnerandminutes.com, by this evening. That'll all be up there, so you get the address and the phone number and all of that. So let's go.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you, Donald. And we're going to David in Fort Lauderdale, line one. Hello, David. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
I was just calling to see if there were any restaurants new in Broward, like maybe Beachside Broward, that you guys would recommend.
Okay.
I will say there's a couple spots that I went to up there that are both very good. The first one's called Burlock Coast. It's in the Ritz-Carlton. It's a seafood restaurant right there on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Great view. I mean, it's literally right there across the street from the beach in Fort Lauderdale Beach. Phenomenal cocktails there. Really, really well-done menu. I'm not even a huge seafood person, and I like the seafood they had there. The other one is called Green Bar Kitchen, which is a vegan place. And just hear me out before you
make a face.
Count that, but yeah. No, I mean, again, not a cuisine that I'm particularly enamored with. But it's Green Bar, which is a restaurant that's in Fort Lauderdale. They open sort of a fast casual concept, and closer to the beach. And it is it's phenomenal. I had a taco there that was you wouldn't even know that it wasn't meat in there, and it's healthy. So and actually reasonably priced, unlike most vegan restaurants that you happen across. You can go there and get lunch and a drink, and it's not an alcohol drink, but a soda, and it's probably $10.
Okay.
Joe is not here, but I'm imagining his face right now.
How did you spell the Ritz-Carlton restaurant, Matt?
Burlock Coast, B-U-R-L-O-C-K, and then Coast.
Okay, sounds great. We're going to have to take another break here, and we've been loving hearing all about our restaurant reviews. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about South Florida restaurants. We're getting some rumors and some information, and we've been listening to you, our listeners, who have been giving us your tips. With us is Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Lainey Doss is the food editor for Miami New Times. And by phone with us is Matt Meltzer. He's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. And as I mentioned, we're getting tips from you, our listeners. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Or radio at WLRN.org might be quicker.
You had some news about beer for us, Lainey?
I have some fascinating news. So Miami is fast becoming a beer capital. And what people didn't know is that the city of Miami only allowed breweries. It's not very easy for a brewery to open in Miami. And they were only allowed in Wynwood, in the city of Miami. We're not talking about Hialeah and Doral.
Oh, and I thought there had been some on Miami Beach. Not true.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Working breweries, not tap rooms and stuff. And so the city of Miami just ruled yesterday that it's open. Breweries can now exist in other parts of the city of Miami. Now, it's only in the cultural district. So it's in the design district. It's in Little Haiti, the Mimo district, Wynwood, and I forgot the fifth one. But it's going to open up the playing field for a lot of breweries.
A lot of beer. We're going to be floating on beer here in Miami. And Miami Times is coming out with their special article.
Yes, well, a shameless plug for Miami New Times, but next week is our annual Best of issue, and I think if you're a foodie out there, it's a really great thing for you to check out. You can pick it up on newsstands on Thursday. You can get a sneak peek. It's online on Tuesdays. There's a Miami edition and a Broward Palm Beach edition, so I know a lot of listeners have been in Broward County. They have their own issue where they can get tips on over 300 of the best of, and half of them are food and drink.
Okay.
So the best burger, the best, and it's all curated by our editorial staff. So
all right. Well, we've got a lot of callers here, so we'll go to Zachary on Miami Beach. Hello, Zachary. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Great. What have you got for us?
Well, this is one of my favorite go-to places. I hate to give the name because I like to keep it as a little secret place, but people are already discovering it, so I might as well show it. It's called King's Palace Barbecue. It's on 163rd Street. It's an authentic Chinese place. It's fantastic food.
What barbecue?
It's called King's Palace Barbecue.
King's Palace. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they already know everything about me. When I walk in, they know exactly what I want. I wish I could get more stuff, but the food's so good, I get the same thing over and over. my favorite thing to get there is it's a roast duck and roast pork with wonton egg noodle soup with Chinese broccoli inside. Absolutely amazing.
Sounding good to me.
So good. So
okay.
Good. I order the same thing every single time, but I wish I could get more.
Okay. Thank you for your call. Let's get
some
more people are waiting. We'll go to Jonathan in Miami. Hello, Jonathan. You're on the air.
Hey, Linda. Thanks for having me. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hey. So I actually used to cover Miami for AskMen.com. I did their city guide for a couple of years, so you know, I love getting around and checking new places. And my wife and I actually just moved to the Buena Vista area, just north of the Design District. And I don't know how well-known this place is, but we like to go all the time. It's a sushi place by the name of Shakudo. And they have some excellent,
I have to ask everybody to spell these names. We're getting such unbelievable names for these restaurants. How do you spell Shakudo?
Shakudo is S as in Sam, H-O-K-U-D-O, Shakudo.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's it. But, yeah, we go in and we get some excellent dumplings they have there. They actually have a sweet potato curry dumpling that's fantastic.
Wow, sweet potato curry. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's great. And actually, so, you know, we're kind of exploring that area a little bit, and I was actually wanted to pose a question to all of your callers to see if they have any recommendations for anything else in that Design District or Buena Vista area.
What have you got?
Well, there are a lot of them. I mean, they're standards. There's Limoni Cafe, which is tiny and adorable, mm-hmm. and actually makes wonderful pizza and a really good vegan pizza.
Oh, perfect.
And there's MC Kitchen, which is Dina Marino, chef partner, is probably one of my favorite chefs. Yeah. She's in the design district. Yeah, it's
if you want a nicer meal out, drop a little cash. Cypress Tavern, same, you know, yep. Michael Schwartz. If you want, you know, the deli.
Buena Vista Deli
is always great. The best quiche, you know, made it into the Schrager's cookbook, his new breakfast cookbook. They have, you could even buy that and get their quiche recipe. So you don't even have to go now.
So now you have to go out.
Yeah.
Okay. Jonathan?
Great.
Got some ideas there. Thank you for your call.
Thanks very much.
We'll go to, is it JD in Fort Lauderdale? Hello, JD? Yes. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, this is JD in Fort Lauderdale. I just have a little negative comment. Last weekend, for the first time, I went to Locale, me and my grandbaby. We had the Miami Heat burger.
Was this Locale in Fort Lauderdale?
No, Locale in
Miami, because they are expanding. Yeah. Okay.
Right. No, this is the one in Miami. It was very, very busy. We didn't wait that long, but there was like a 30-minute wait. We finally got sat down. Wonderful decor. I'll give it that. I love the decor. As a matter of fact, they even took a picture of the little Duff beer they have inside a little hollowed-out old TV tube, and that was the cutest thing about it. But as far as the burger, I was not impressed at all with the Miami Heat burger.
Well, and that's my favorite burger in Miami.
And you know what? Maybe they now need to change the name to the Cavs. I don't know.
I don't think that would be
popular. Are you familiar with the Miami Heat burger they serve?
I am. That's my favorite burger in Miami.
When I read down the menu, I said, this has got to be my favorite. But I was not. I really wasn't impressed with it. Mm. And then
not everybody loves grass-fed beef on a burger. I think it's kind of a matter of taste with that. And if you like grass-fed beef, you probably like the burgers there. If you don't, you're probably not going to like them.
No. I don't get it wrong. I loved all the ingredient part of it. It's just I ordered it medium well. It came, less than rare. And, the service was really, really, I won't go back.
Okay. Thanks for your comment. We're asking for comments, and thank you for calling in. So let's go to Eric and Davey. Hello, Eric. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you? This is the first time I've been to this show, and I felt compelled to tell you about, this is probably very different than most of the restaurants that people recommend. But a couple of months ago, I discovered a tiny little hole in the wall, four-table place in Boca Raton called Fran's Chicken. And it is the absolute most amazing fried chicken you'd ever taste in your life.
Okay, so are you saying, sorry, you must be in your car, Eric. We're breaking up a little bit. It's Fran's, F-R-A-N-S, Fran's Chicken?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Correct.
Okay,
They started in the 1960s. And then Fran and her husband got divorced, and it was closed for a while, and has gone through three subsequent owners who've all closed except for the young man who runs it now. And I'm trying my best to get him to sell me a franchise I can open in Davie.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call. Eric, it's hard to hear you, but thanks for your
love.
Call.
That is true dedication.
Great. And we'll just go to Richard in Coconut Creek. Hello, Richard. You're on the air.
Hi there, Linda.
Hi.
Hi. There's a new restaurant in Margate in the Peppertree Plaza off of Sample Road. It's called It's All Greek to Me. And it has the best, however you pronounce it, gyro gyro sandwich I've ever had. Excellent.
Okay. Well, that sounds very, very good. There's so many. Thank you for your call, Richard. There's many. Restaurants and hot spots that are going on. What do any of you see about trends or whatever?
Trends? Big trend, donuts.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get a lot of donuts.
What is this
soon donut
thing?
Well, donuts have been going off everywhere but here for years and years. And
we're a little late.
All of a sudden, we had one open and people went, because there's lines around the corner for salty donuts. So it's now we're like the last kids to the party and we're eating everything that's there. You know what I mean?
We're a little late to the donuts, which has not bothered
me
at all because we need the temptation.
Does that mean we're through with cupcakes, I hope?
Yes, donuts are the new cupcake.
Yeah, cupcakes are done.
Well, wasn't it Paula Deen who made a hamburger sandwich with a donut?
I don't think she invented it, but she did. It was like the ladies' brunch, right, with a Krispy Kreme. And in fact, Locale does that. It's called the Childhood Dream, and it's a burger with crispy, actually salty donut now. glazed donuts as a bun. But there's Honeybee Donut opened up in South Miami. Salty Donut is a Wynwood pop-up on the weekend. And they are opening up their own brick and mortar probably in the next month or so. And Mojo Donuts, that's in Pembroke Pines right by Perry Airport, is opening up their own shop in Westchester. And it's going to be Mojo Donuts and Fried Chicken. So we got a trend here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it was just National Donut Day. So Pawnbroker did Donut Eve, where they had the most outrageous donuts that they were serving with cocktails. So, I mean, that was your double dose of calories right there. And you couldn't say no, because why would you? And, you know.
So now it's no more waffles with fried chicken. It's donut with fried chicken.
Donut with fried
it's
chicken.
It's donuts with booze. It's like. It's like
we're all going to die anyway. So what difference does it
enjoy.
Make? Let's go out with a, you know, with a
with
donut.
With a donut, yeah.
It was this Mexican chocolate filled thing in one hand and this, you know, artisanal cocktail in the other one. And you're thinking, which one first? And then you think, oh, just together. It's okay.
Okay, we have an emailer. Fabrizio recommends Sapori di Mare in Coconut Grove on Grand Avenue, steps from Cocoa Walk.
That's a very sweet little tiny place. It was next to the subway or something.
Yep.
And you wouldn't know that it's even there. And apparently I've got people who say, go in the back in the garden and just enjoy some really good food.
Mm. Yeah, it's adorable. It's, you know, it's that neighborhood place that, you know, you don't think about unless you live there.
Right. It's a little pricey, but it's fresh, good food. So, right. That's another place in Coconut Grove that's just expanding like mad. Let's go to line two. Is it Katerina in Miami? Hello, Katerina.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm actually calling because I found a very interesting new website. I don't know if it's new, but it's called Eat With.
So Katerina, it's hard to hear you. Are you on a speaker, or can you speak up, please?
Okay, maybe. Can you hear me better
now?
Oh,
yeah, a lot better. Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. Basically, I was calling because I found a website called Eat With. And it's all over the world. I think it started in Israel. And it's very big in San Francisco. You can go to Barcelona or just any city, and you get to eat at people's houses. So
right.
There's these new chefs doing interesting things in their homes. So I recently went to one in Miami Shores to a young chef called Chris Kaplan. And it was great. It was awesome. It was a new experience having dinner with people you don't even know. It turned out to be a really interesting group, and the food was great. So
Wonderful. So you're calling it Eat With, W-I-T-H, yes?
Eat With.
Okay.
So you just go online, and there's a few in Miami. I know there's in Coconut Grove, Miami Shores, and I think there's one more maybe in Hollywood.
Okay, great.
And,
thank you.
And it's great.
Right.
Okay,
we're going to have to take a break. Thank you for your call, Katerina. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about South Florida restaurants. Matt Meltzer, Jen Koretnik, Lainey Doss, and you, our listeners, are giving us great information. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about South Florida restaurants, and giving us the latest restaurant news in studio with us is Jen Koretnik, the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Lainey Doss is the food editor for Miami New Times. And by phone with us is Matt Meltzer. He's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. And you, our listeners, are giving us some of your tips and your treasures and some of your pet peeves. I'd just like to mention that coming up next Friday, June 17th, is the Taste of the Nation's No Kid Hungry event. And it's going to be at the Soho Studios in Wynwood. And it's really an important event. They raise funds every year for kids in Florida. I didn't know this, that one in four kids in Florida struggle with hunger, which is really an amazing statistic. The event supports connecting kids in need to healthy meals. And the tickets are $125 or $250 for VIP entrance. But if you'd like some more information and you want to support this important cause, go to nokidhungry.org/ South Florida. So an important event to know about. And there's going to be about 80 chefs from Miami there.
And it's 80 of the best chefs in Miami. Yes. Nobody says no to the organizer, Chef Alan Susser. So
right. he is the mensch in charge.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's a good value all around. So now it's dinner and minutes time for those nights when you're not going out for dinner. Matt, maybe you'd like this because it's a hot and spicy meal. It's hot and spicy salad. It's jerk chicken salad with a mixed berry salad. I use, to make it quick and easy, already cooked boneless skinless chicken breast. You can buy them already in strips, or you can find any kind of cooked chicken in your market. And then I toss it with some jerk seasoning. And again, jerk seasoning, you can buy that in your spice section of the supermarket. It's a spice mixture that's made with a lot of different spices. A real jerk barbecue will take hours and hours to make, but this one, you just get some of the spices. All spices, the main ingredient there. This is a very simple version. The chicken is served on a bed of lettuce with fresh vegetables. And then the side dish is a very refreshing berry salad, because I love this season. I mentioned it last week. We've got lots of strawberries and blueberries and raspberries available. And I toss it with some olive oil and vinegar dressing. And then I put a little shredded coconut on top. So that complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
So, ordering wine in restaurants. Now, things to do and things not to do. First, I have warned listeners before not to avoid the ploy of saving a buck while not looking cheap by ordering the second cheapest wine on the list. That is so transparent that your waiter might actually snicker at you. Still, wine markups are big, and wine in restaurants can be really something that pumps up your final bill. So what do you do? Have some ideas here. First, go to the restaurant's website beforehand and check the wine list. When you can do this at your leisure, you might be able to find some lower-priced wines that you like. Second, avoid the most popular wine varieties like Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon. You ought to be not drinking all the time anyway. Demand for them is high, so they're expensive. And so instead of Chardonnay, order a white Sauvignon Blanc or a dry Riesling or a Pinot Grigio. And instead of a red Cabernet Sauvignon, order an equally hearty red Syrah or Shiraz or a Cabernet Franc. You'll save a buck, and sometimes you'll have some good surprises that way. Next, avoid top wine regions like France's Bordeaux or California's Napa Valley for obvious reasons. If you're looking for French wines, check out the Loire Valley. You can find excellent and reasonably priced white Sauvignon Blanc and Chenin Blanc there, and reasonably priced reds like Cabernet Franc. And it's, as I say, it's fun to try new wines like these in any case. Now, an example, I took a wine class once from a Miami civics teacher, and he had a civics teacher's salary but a powerful love of wine. So he sought out the world's lesser-known wine regions. The French Burgundy was too expensive. He looked at the Loire Valley. If that was too high, he checked out southwestern France. Then he looked to Australia, then Chile, then Romania, and ended up in Bulgaria. And you might lose a little quality this way, but you can also find some very pleasant surprises. One of the inexpensive Romanian reds was good enough to become my civic teacher's everyday wine. But the main point is to do your homework. Study the wine list. Look things up. I always say anybody can look at a wine list and pick out a good $100 wine. But if you want a good $25 wine, you have to know what you're doing.
Well, right. And you know, Fred, I found recently, even more so now, that if there's a wine there that's being suggested to me at a reasonable price and all, they'll let you taste it beforehand, because in these days you don't have to have a whole bottle. And we're finding more
that's
and more of
that. That's very smart on their part, yeah.
Right.
That's very smart on their part.
Okay.
Well, and if you taste enough of them, you don't have to buy one.
I don't know if they'll do that, though. It's not like 31 flavors.
Right. Fred, I'm not know if, what enough is.
It's
know?
A good strategy, though. I'm going to try it.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Okay, our number is 800-743-9576. Give us a call if you have something to tell us about restaurants. We have Tony in Wynwood. Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
How's it going?
Great. Have you got a restaurant for us? Or something else?
I wanted to ask your reviewers. Some of them, at least two of them that I've met, seem pretty much in shape. And I was wondering, how do they stay in shape, you know, being food critics and going out to eat all the time and probably getting shoveled food from all these restaurateurs?
First of all, is this a Tony that I think it is?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Tony. First of all, you have to tell which two of the three of the people on air are in shape.
Well, I only really have met Lainey and Matt. I don't know the one that.
Thank God, I was worried there. I was about to go through everything I've eaten in the last.
I don't think you're the only one.
Myself,
I assure you, Jen is in shape too.
I was wondering about that. There's a couple of things.
You know, the first one is you don't eat everything that's put in front of you. You have a bite or two and figure out what it tastes like, and then you know, unfortunately, sometimes you have to waste the rest of it. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I've learned. You know, the second is just absolutely making a point of going to the gym. You know. And just say, hey, I had a big media dinner last night. You know, that filet mignon and peppercorn sauce isn't going to burn itself off. You know, so the next day, whatever work you have to do, you say, all right, but, you know, I'm going to go to the gym at 9 o'clock, and then my work will come after that. And that's how you do it. You know, you just kind of have to live in fear of gaining weight, and you pretty much can do that. But you just have to prioritize it, you know, and just say other things might have to wait. And then that's basically it.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Tony. Let's go to Meek in
I like Tony.
You like what?
Tony. I like Tony. He's all right. He's okay in my book.
Yeah, you like Tony. That's because you're not the third
one. I didn't
one.
Hear anybody mentioning me.
That's because you're not number three sitting here thinking,
Okay, Megan. Is it Megan or Megan? You're on the air. Fort Lauderdale.
Hi, it's Megan.
Megan, yes. Go ahead.
Hi, I have a question. I go to Miami-Dade College, North Campus, which is in Opa-locka. And I occasionally have time to have a meal, and I unfortunately find myself eating fast food and junk, but I particularly love Peruvian cuisine, so I wanted to know if there was any recommendations in the Opa-locka or Hialeah area.
Okay, we only have about a half a minute, so go ahead.
I mean, Miami Springs is your best bet. It's really close to Opa-locka, and then you're in Opa-locka, you're in luck, you're getting a brewery right in your neighborhood.
She's studying. We don't even know how old she is. She's a student.
Yeah. Well, I'm of age. However, I am pregnant.
Well, you know, in Ireland, they recommend that you have a Guinness a day. So yeah. I don't think it's
to each their own.
Yeah. You know, it's probably difficult to leave campus and then go back, and it's, you know. That's pretty difficult, but we're crawling with Peruvian restaurants right now. So, yeah.
So
I would look around and experiment. It's kind of hard not to stumble over a Peruvian place every couple of blocks.
Okay, well, best advice we could give you, Megan. Good luck to you, and good luck with your baby. Okay, it's been a really fun packed day, and. All of these restaurants mentioned, they'll be on my website, dinnerinminutes.com. Thank you for joining us. Great information. Matt Meltzer, Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. Jen Koretnik, restaurant critic for Miami Magazine.
And the one not in shape.
No, Tony hadn't met you yet. Tony's going to be looking for you.
If he had met you, he would have known all three of you.
And Lainey Doss, food editor for Miami New Times. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
And always a pleasure.
And Bonnie Berman, great talking with you.
Next week,
we're going to be talking about more restaurant noise levels in restaurants with Adele Sandberg and Sherilyn Adler. And I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And that wraps up our restaurant roundabout. Linda will have a listing of all today's restaurants at her website, dinnerinminutes.com. Thanks to our many callers as well as our many listeners. We apologize to those of you who couldn't get to. Lead producer Richard Ives was busy on the phones. Our technical director, Paul Leary, is also our online producer. Polly Landis is associate producer. Of course, we always have free audio archives of our programs at our website, WLRN.org. More information and links also found at the Topical Currents Facebook page. That's facebook.com/topicalcurrents. Tomorrow at 1, it's Here and Now. Monday's program is an at-your-service call-in program about South Florida gardening tips. With summer but only a week away, we'll have great advice from expert South Florida master gardeners. And you don't have to have a green thumb to listen. Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, Fred Tasker, Here and Now, coming up next from NPR News. Have a great weekend.